Asan, I really don't.
Me. Stop pretending I don't know who you are.
Asan. Wait, Jesse, for real. I'm confused. You know who I am? I mean, I thought maybe you did the other day, but then I thought, no way. And I was going to tell you, but...
Me. It was only coffee.
Am I that... I don't know, horrible that... Never mind.
Asan.
I don't know what you're talking about. Seriously. Should we wait till you're sober to have this conversation? This is not going the way I wanted it to.
Me.
Yeah.
Me neither.
I turn off my phone, run up the stairs to the small bathroom, throw up my DeLucci's pizza and 6 cans of beer, and don't even feel the tiniest bit of nostalgic relief when I see Scar's map of the world shower curtain, or even the Cat in the Hat soap dispenser that has been there for as long as I can remember. I sit on her old fluffy blue bath mat and try to hold still as the world continues to spin.
Chapter 28.
Wake up, sleepyhead, Scar says. I open one eye. She's wearing flannel pajamas. Her hair is back in a mini ponytail, and she doesn't look even the slightest bit hungover. There's an obvious hickey on her neck that I hope she will cover before seeing her parents. She sits cross-legged at the end of her bed, which I apparently slept in, though I don't really remember how I got here. She hands me a glass of water. Please tell me you did not hook up with Joe.
Ew, no, of course not.
My head throbs, a pain radiating from the inside out, like my brain is rotting. I sit up and then lie right back down. Too fast. All too fast. So I was thinking about going back early. The words come out before I think them through. I just can't stand to be near Scarlett and for us not to be us. I imagine this is what breaking up with someone feels like. Don't, Jay. Seriously. Not like this. I don't know why you hate me so much. My eyes are closed, so the words are easier to say, to slip them right into the darkness. I must have spent all of my tears last night, because none come now. Just an overwhelming feeling of loss.
I don't hate you.
Scar scoots up the bed, so she is sitting next to me now, and her arm is around my shoulder.
God, you stink.
I laugh. Thanks a lot, I threw up.
No shit.
Scar, I don't hate you. She pauses, gathers the words. But you left, not me. You are the one who left. I look out the window, behind Scar's head, and see that the trees are almost bare already, even though it's still autumn. Their leaves have been shed, one by one, leaving the branches naked and unprotected in the cold. I shiver, pull the blanket up.
That's not fair. I didn't want to go. You know that.
But you barely even ask about how I am. You didn't just leave. You left.
I guess I just assumed you were the same. There's been so much going on with me. I wanted to tell you all about my life. That's what we do,
I say, and now my bottom lip begins its familiar quiver. Maybe she's right and I'm wrong, and everything is all my fault. Scarlett, my dad, SN, soon Dree. Maybe my mom in some strange cosmic way. Maybe self-centered narcissists like me don't deserve mothers.
You know how hard it's been for me? You think I wanted to hang out with Dina? When you left, I had nobody. Nobody,
Scar says.
You never even ask, like, I don't know, anything.
I'm sorry. You're right. I've had my head really far up my own ass.
And I feel bad even being mad at you because it's like your mom died, and then you had to move and live with the evil step people. They don't seem so bad, by the way. But I still need my best friend, you know? Not everything is about you.
Scar folds into herself and then starts to cry so hard her body shakes. I put my arms around her from behind, my stomach to her back, though I have no idea what's going on.
Scar, it's okay. It will be okay.
Talk to me, I say, but she's in no condition to talk. Too many tears and too much snot. So I wait. I can do that. I can wait, and then I can listen.
Adam is going to break up with me, she says after I've gotten out of bed and handed her a wad of toilet paper to clean off her face. The floor undulates, but I can power through this hangover for Scar.
Why? I mean, what makes you think that? He seems so into you, I say.
Because he does.
Before they made their not-so-subtle escape to the laundry room, he kept glancing at her, checking to see her reaction each time he made a joke. Wanting not only to see her laugh, but reveling in being the one to make that happen.
I don't know. Partially it's the sex thing.
Which sex thing? Does she not even realize that she hasn't yet told me they've slept together? Have we drifted that far apart without my even noticing?
You know, that we're not having it yet. Like, Dina had this big pregnancy scare last year, and I'm not ready. It's embarrassing, but I'm scared. I don't know what I'm doing.
No one knows what they're doing the first time, right?
And I'm just so...
She stops, pulls the blanket over her head. This new Scar is unrecognizable. The Scar I know is fearless, certainly not like me, afraid of the inconsequential things in life, like guys and their silly dangling parts. I pull the blanket off her, force her to face me. Tell me.
I'm so into him, I can't even take it. I didn't expect to even like him a little bit, and now, holy crap, I don't know what to do with myself. All I think about is him, she says.
And I know exactly what she means. That's how I think about Ethan. Damaged, impossible to date Ethan. All the time, even when I don't want to. Even when he is completely irrelevant to whatever I'm doing. Like drinking with annoying Joe and wondering how Ethan would fit in. He'll never come to Chicago, never see Scar's basement. But he was there anyway, in my mind. And as stupid as it is, I admit I think about SN that way too. Not Caleb, not the real-life version of SN, but the one on my screen, the one who is always there for me. He's not real, of course. We're all better versions of ourselves when we get that extra time to craft the perfect message. The SN I know and obsess about can't translate into real life. He's a virtual soulmate, not a real one. I do realize that.
Scar, that's amazing. No, it's horrible. I feel like an idiot. It's Adam, for God's sake. Your old neighbor, the worst kisser in the world, Adam. Though he's a great kisser now.
She pulls the blanket over her head again, and I rip it off.
Look at me. He's into you, too. Seriously, he's been working out. I can tell. Why else would he suddenly start working out? And he can't stop touching you, and looks at you all the time. I mean, all the time.
I throw my arms around her, because I'm so happy. She deserves a good boyfriend and everything else she could possibly want. Certainly, she deserves the happy ending of the romantic comedy about the boy next door, even if technically he was my neighbor, not hers. Close enough. And she's right. I did leave, and I didn't for a second worry about what my moving would mean for her. I haven't asked enough about Adam, about her new life. I've only been focused on complaining about mine. I'm so sorry for not being here for you. I was an asshole, but I'm here now, okay?
Okay, she says and snuffles into my shoulder.
So tell me everything, I say. And she does. Later,
We eat Scar's mom's tofu noodle soup with hot sauce, which Scar promises is an ancient cure for hangovers. The food is staying down, so I consider it a win. Adam wants me to make him some tattoo stickers for his computer, she says, and I smile at her. She really has it bad. No matter what we're talking about, she finds a way to work him into the conversation. They're awesome. You should totally sell them on Etsy. Yeah, he's already picked out what he wants if he ever gets real ones, but I want to make one that means something, that symbolizes him or us. But I don't know. It's probably too soon. We slurp our soup, stare into our murky bowls. I don't know if it is too soon. This is not my area of expertise, and I don't want to screw things up for her. Is that your phone that keeps beeping? Scar asks me. Since we sat down, I've clocked at least 10 messages, but it could be more. Yeah, I say. And you don't want to check it? I have purposely left my phone in my bag, an intentional, not an FAA-mandated untethering. When I powered it on this morning, I already had a bunch of messages that I was too afraid to read. A few from Agnes and Dree, but I figure if they want to drop me as a friend, it can wait till Monday. Perhaps most terrifying of all, one from SN. I can't believe I was stupid enough to IM drunk. I need to get a phone-locking breathalyzer. Does that exist? If not, I'm going to invent it, disrupt the industry, and make a bajillion dollars. Not really. It could be an emergency, she says. What emergency? If my dad needs to reach me, he has your landline. I'm all yours right now. No Wood Valley crap. I like to hear about the Wood Valley crap. Seriously. Scar says and stands up, stretches in a way that makes me wonder if she's taken up yoga. I just want to talk about me, too, sometimes. I'm sorry, my new mantra. Hope my repetition of those words, I've said them maybe 100 times this morning, doesn't cheapen them. When my mom died, that was the expression I hated the most, because it seemed like an easy way for people to deal with me and move on. The words, a beautifully wrapped gift box with nothing inside. No recognition that her having died meant that she was now dead. Every day. Forever. I'm getting your phone. No, please don't. It must be done. She grabs my phone from my bag, swipes the screen. What's your code? My tongue burns. And my eyes water from the hot sauce. Still, I take another sip of soup, avoid her eyes, stir noodle and seaweed into a tangled knot. Fine, I know it anyway. You do not, I say, though of course she does. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep, right in. How many times have I told you that you need to change that? I laugh, but I'm scared. What's in my phone? What does SN have to say for himself? Why are both Dree and Agnes texting when they know I'm away? I pray that they're writing to tell me that Liam came to his senses and he and Jem are back together, not because they're mad. It's strange that Wood Valley has seeped all the way here, halfway across the country. No way! Scar squeals and claps. I was so hoping it wouldn't be him. What are you talking about? I ask. Look! Scar hands me the phone, which is open to a three-way message between me, Agnes, and Dree. Agnes, big news! Just saw Caleb at Barney's! Dree, so? Agnes, he was with his sister! Dree, she's not dead? Agnes, nope, alive and well, and buying $1,000 handbag. Dree, Jesse, OMG. OMG! Agnes, told you Caleb wasn't SN. Wait, what? I look at Scarlett. I'm confused. Of course SN is Caleb. I mean, he has to be. The way he dresses like someone who wants to remain anonymous. The fact that he had his phone out at the party. and the way he showed up at Book Out Below after I told him I worked there. The way he always texts minutes after we talk in person. That whole phone shake code thingy. Did he make up his dead sister? And didn't SN and I talk about my coffee offer once, that time when I took it back? I searched for the message. And there it is. Me. 3, just so you know, I take back coffee. SN.
Okay, no sugar for you.
Me. What? SN.
A joke. Seinfeld reference.
Me. It's not funny. SN.
It's just coffee. Relax.
I give my phone back to Scar, like it's something toxic. Did I have it all wrong? Did SN think it was a typo? That I was saying that I take my coffee black? I thought he meant it was just coffee, that meeting in person was no big deal. Yeah, I was so not rooting for Caleb. He seems like kind of a dick, no offense. Kilimanjaro notwithstanding. Like if he was going to spend all this time messaging you, he should want to hang out. Wait, so you think it's not him? For real? My head is spinning again. Scar was wrong. This soup is no hangover cure. I feel the hot sauce make its way up the back of my throat. Burn, burn, burn. Of course not. Who makes up a dead sister? Weirdos who anonymously text their classmates? No way. It's official. SN is not Caleb. Then who the hell is he? I ask. Look, Scar says, and hands my phone right back. SN.
I'm worried. Are you okay? You can be mad, but just tell me you are okay.
SN.
Hello?
SN.
Okay, trying to calm down. Even though it's the middle of the night and impossible to think clearly, I'm just going to tell myself that your phone died or you turned it off because you didn't want to talk to me, which is fine, though I don't get it. But you're not in some ditch somewhere drunk with that stupid jerk who wouldn't leave you alone.
SN.
Morning now. You're okay, right?
Right.
Right?
SN.
3 things. 1. I've only told you 1 lie. The rest, everything else, has been the truth. And though it was a big one, I think you'll understand why.
God, I hope so.
2. This is more important than anything else. This is real, even if everything else feels like it's not most of the time. 3. I've been thinking about it all night. I've reread your messages 1,000,000 times, and I'm pretty sure I know who you think I am, and you're wrong.
SN.
Just for today, I'm doing a number 4. Let's meet.
So it is Caleb, because he says he lied. So it has to be Caleb, I say. He lied about his sister and everything else is the truth.
No way. He lied about something else. Or maybe he lied about his sister, but it wasn't Caleb who did the lying.
It's just not him.
I know it, Scar says. And for some reason, though she has never met any of these people, I believe her. Caleb has been so dismissive of me, not interested in even the smallest of small talk. SN is the opposite, always wants to hear more, all of the details that add up to the entirety of my day.
I think he's Liam.
No way, I say.
It explains why he would dump Jem for you.
I smile at Scar, but not because any part of me hopes SN is Liam. That would suck for so many reasons. Not least because of Dree.
You've been listening, I say, and feel so grateful she's still my friend, that she will be, hopefully forever. She knew my mother, and the me of before. That's no small thing.
Of course I've been listening.
Me. Sorry about last night. Wasn't myself. Long story. But yes, let's meet. I think it's time.
SN. It's definitely, unequivocally time.
Chapter 29. You know what's weird? There are a ton of randos at school. SN could be anyone. I mean, he could be that guy Ken Abernathy, who, like, has a real farting issue. I mean, it's sad.
He could even be Mr. Shackleman. Scar and I are driving around. No destination in mind. Just looping the streets because they're familiar. Unlike my former classmates, the surroundings here look the same as before. The trees may be naked, but they're naked in the same way they were last fall, and the one before that. Even my house looks almost exactly the way I remember it, even though it's been overtaken by a new family. Only difference is there's now a tricycle with tasseled handlebars on the front lawn, and a football wedged in a bush. When we drive by, I squint so these new additions get erased from the image. Home, but not home. Mom, where are you? Silly of me to think you'd be more here than there. Who's Mr. Shackleman? Scar asks. My gym teacher. He's a total perv. Oh my god, how funny would that be if SN turned out to be some old dude with, like, a neck beard? Yuck. He's balding and has a beer gut. I think you're going to have to get up on the Liam train, because he's totally SN. Scar pulls into the 7-Eleven, and we sit and just stare at the storefront and its big windows, into the fluorescent lights and shelves of processed food, and the gleaming hot dogs on spits. I like it here in the car, a cocoon of plastic and metal. Mom, I miss you. I love you. I don't know, I say, and focus. I don't see Liam in that way. He's cute and all, but it's just kind of awkward with him. Fine, I know I sound weird and crazy picky. I should be happy anyone likes me. Come on, that's ridiculous. If you aren't into him, you aren't into him. I'm not saying you should be desperate. I'm just saying you might not see what's right in front of you. Like Adam and me. I laugh. I can't help it. Adam and Scar. Scar and Adam. The whole thing is kind of adorable. Okay, fine. Laugh. Get it out now, because I'm far from done. Scar and Adam sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes baby in the baby carriage. God forbid. Here's what I want to say, but it sounds weird, even in my own head. Liam sometimes makes me feel noticed, but never actually seen. I want to be seen. And maybe that's another reason why I don't think Liam is SN. Because SN really sees me. I believe that. He gets what I've been through. We connect. So, the sex thing. Want to talk about it? I ask. Sex, the to have or not to have question, is the only part of her relationship with Adam we haven't dissected in minute detail yet. I want to do it. I mean, my girly parts definitely do. But what if I'm bad at it? Or I gross them out? Or, you know, I get pregnant. Remember health last year? With the condoms? Banana? Penis. Same difference, right? And you are so not going to gross him out. Even if I manage to figure it all out, how to get the condom on him, they, like, can break or just not work or whatever. I could go on the pill, but I don't see how I can do that without talking to my mom, and she'd totally freak. Scar stares straight ahead. This conversation is best had with our heads parallel. No eye contact. Is Adam pushing it? Have you talked to him about it? I ask. Not really. I mean, I know he totally would. Do it, I mean, not talk about it. Though I guess he'd do that too. Why not wait and see how it goes? He's probably a virgin too. And if your mom sees you guys hanging around all the time, maybe she'll bring it up. You have met my mother, right? I don't know. You don't have to figure it all out now. You don't think I should do it? She asks. It's strange seeing her this way. So vulnerable. In doubt. In love. I think about what my mom would say, since I imagine us being close enough to talk about this kind of stuff if she were still alive. Most likely, We wouldn't have been, though. Something happens when you turn 16, I think. Your parents become less your allies, more your biggest obstacles. I'm the only teenager I know who would want nothing more than to be grounded by my mother. The opposite of a punishment. It doesn't matter what I think. You should do what you feel comfortable with.
Cop-out answer, Jess.
I laugh, elbow her ribs. It occurs to me that what Scar needs right now is a friend like Scar, someone to break it down and tell it like it is. Honestly, and I know this is funny coming from me, but you're overthinking it. Relax. Do what you want to do when you want to do it. If you're ready, go forth and prosper. If you're not yet, that's totally okay too. It feels like this huge deal now, but maybe it's not. I sound wise and sure, words I've never before applied to myself, especially in this context. You just need to figure out whether you're scared because it's your first time. I mean, the first time is supposed to be a little scary, right? Or because you aren't ready. There's really no right answer here.
You sound like me, Scar says, and finally turns her head.
There are tears in her eyes, which makes me sad, because she should be happy. She's getting what she always wanted, to love and to be loved, even if it's not exactly how she pictured it all. I learn from the best, I say and smile. Then in unison, without talking about it, like the old Scar and Jay, we open our car doors, stride into the 7-Eleven, and just as we used to, long before everything got so complicated, we head straight to the back, to the always reliable Slurpee machine. Dree. Did Liam ask you out?
Me.
No! Wait, is that a lie? If he's SN and we're going to meet, does that count? And assuming Caleb has his facts straight and I'm the reason for the demise of Jem and Liam, I can't bring myself to call them Jemium. Do I have an obligation to tell Dree?
Don't tell her, Scar says, reading my mind at the same time as she reads my texts over my shoulder.
We're back in the basement, and beautiful vampire men are saving helpless teenage girls from other murderous vampires on television. We're eating popcorn. I couldn't be happier.
Seriously, it will just hurt her feelings, and it's not a lie. Liam hasn't asked you out.
Dree. I think he will. He likes you.
Me.
I'm not interested.
Dree. What if he's SN?
Me.
He's not SN.
Dree.
But what if he is?
Me.
Dree.
She wants you to say you won't go out with him.
You can't say that. If he's SN, you need to give him a chance.
You just do, Scar says, her confidence back. This is the best friend I recognize. The one who tells the truth. No sugarcoating.
And if she's really your friend, she'll understand that.
She is my friend, but we're new. It's different. We haven't built up trust, you know?
Still.
Liam is not SN.
Whatever, he totally is.
I smile at Scar, because it's funny how she talks about my friends from Wood Valley like they're characters from a TV show, like she's betting on the next plot twist. In some ways, I do that too. Wood Valley sometimes feels like my pretend life.
Dree. Liam doesn't have a sister.
Me.
See?
Dree. I don't know. I still think Liam is SN. And yes, I'll admit it. I'm totally jealous.
Me, please, don't be.
Dree. Fine. Love you anyway. Going to go listen to The Girl No One Knows on repeat and feel sorry for myself.
Theo. What the what? Liam broke up with Jem to be with you?
Me. Who told you that?
Theo. Everyone. Liam's H-O-T. How'd you pull that one off?
Me. I didn't pull anything off.
Theo. Girl, you are full of surprises.
Me. Not really.
Theo. He's telling everyone you're like a breath of fresh air.
Me. That's sweet of him, but it kind of makes me sound like a deodorant. Theo, by the way, your dad is making me pick you up from the airport, so you better not check any bags. Don't keep me waiting.
Me. Three things. One, I don't know who you are. I wish I did. And Scar has her theories, but I just don't know. I thought you were someone else, but now I know I was wrong. Two, I've never lied to you. I don't think. Well, except that first day when I said I have a black belt in karate. I've never done karate. I'm a crappy liar. I think it's easy for me to talk to you because I don't know who you are. I guess it's different for you. Three, I don't know where home is anymore. SN. Maybe home doesn't have to be a place. Me. Maybe not. Chapter 30. Back in the air. This time it's Chicago that slips away, gets smaller and smaller until I can't see the city at all. My home vanished just like that. And now there are only big swaths of green and brown, a patchwork quilt of earth. Again, my PSAT book sits on my lap, opened but not read, and I stare out the window, trying to decide which way I'd rather be flying. East, back to Scar, who has her own life now and less room for me, or west, back to Rachel's house and my distracted dad, where scary things await. Facing Liam, and if he doesn't back out, SN. As for my father, I've ignored his calls and texts for the past week. Our silence is getting too loud, my sulk having crossed over into something tangible and hard and malignant. I wait until the fastened seatbelt light goes off to take out the envelope Scar slipped to me just as I was leaving. A parting gift, she said. I flip it around in my hand, nervous to open it. I hope there are words of wisdom here, the sort of prescient advice Scar has always been able to freely share. When my mom died, Scar and I sat on my bed, and before she started the full-time job of distracting me from the pain, which she performed admirably, and with such skill, I never even noticed how much work she must have put into it. She said the only thing that made sense at the time. Maybe the only thing that has made any sense since. Just so you know, I realize that what happened is not in any way okay, but I think we're going to have to pretend like it is. Because it wasn't okay, and never will be. We will power through it. I will continue to power through it, all the stagnant, soul-crushing grief, but it will never be okay that my mom is not here, that she will not be at my high school graduation, that she will never give me the lecture, and I won't be able to play along and pretend to be embarrassed and say, "Come on, Mom," that she will not be there when I open my college acceptance letters or rejections. That she will never see who I grow up to be, that great mystery of who I am, and who I am meant to be, finally asked and answered. I will march forth into the great unknown alone. I open the envelope and out slips a new laptop tattoo, bigger than the other ones Scars made for me. This image in black and white, a ninja wielding a samurai sword, his eyes wide and blank and fierce. Attached is a small note. I wanted you to see yourself the way I see you. As a fighter. Strong and stealthy. Totally kick-ass. Completely and utterly your mother's daughter. Love you, Scar. I hug this sticker to my chest. Take it as an omen. The only way forward. I will stop being afraid of everything, of hurt and rejection, of my father's ambivalence about me, of hurting Dree's feelings, of facing Liam and Jem too, of meeting SN in person face to face, of venturing forth, day by day, naked and unprotected, into the bright, bright sun.
Chapter 31. Theo is wearing a charcoal gray pinstriped blazer with matching shorts and a chauffeur's cap, and is holding up a handwritten sign with my name on it. Not for the first time, I wonder how he has a costume for every occasion. Was he able to pull this together from the vast selection in his closet? Or did he shop for the perfect pick-Jesse-up-from-the-airport outfit? Either way, I love the effort, even if he didn't do it for my benefit.
"Hello, my lady. Your chariot awaits," Theo says, and grabs my duffel bag and throws it over his shoulder. "This is all you brought? What about shoes?"
I point to the Vans on my feet.
"You're a lost cause," he says, and leads me out of the air-conditioned terminal into the soft, warm Los Angeles evening. "So, I only offered to do this because I thought you were going to spell. So, spill it."
"Ah, so you offered. I thought you said my dad made you."
"Whatever. Sometimes I'm nice. Don't tell anyone. Now spill."
"Spill what? I've got nothing," I say, and avoid his eyes, even though it's the truth. Liam breaking up with Jem to be with me is just rumor. Liam has not called or texted or asked me out. I have never given him any reason to think we should be together, and I intend to keep it that way. The whys of their breakup are as much a mystery to me as whatever brought them together in the first place. And it's not like Liam and I even have a relationship outside of work. Unless he's SN, which he's not, regardless of Scar's big theory.
"Okay, then. I'll tell you what I know. Apparently, Mr. Liam has it bad for you, like a serious case of the hots. Apparently, he thinks you are a very good listener," Theo says, using air quotes, and leads me across the congested median into the parking lot, even putting his arm out to protect me from the traffic. I'll give him this. Theo is gallant.
"That makes no sense," I say. "I mean, he had the most attractive girl in school. Literally. I saw the sophomore superlatives. She won most attractive in last year's yearbook. There's a picture."
"The world is a wondrous and mysterious place, and there's no accounting for taste."
He takes another pointed look at my Vans. I scratch my chin with my middle finger. "I don't want Liam to ask me out." Theo leads me to his car and even opens his passenger side door for me with a little bow. Sees his performance all the way through, except he doesn't make me sit in the back. The interior of his car is pristine, so different from Scar's parents' Honda, which is filled with candy wrappers and gas receipts. Even if I should be, you know, flattered.
"Why not? He's a cool guy. Maybe not the brightest, but still."
Theo swings out of the parking spot and navigates easily out of the lot and onto the freeway. He's a more comfortable driver than I am, moving in and out of lanes as if he owns the road, and he's just being kind by letting the other cars share it.
"Oh, shit. Don't tell me it's because of Ethan."
"It's not because of Ethan, and he's not who you think he is," I say, hating the obvious defensiveness in my voice.
"You totally have a girly boner for him."
"He's my friend."
"You weren't here."
Theo's face turns dark, and at first I think he's just acting, trying out a new role, troubled.
"Trust me when I say you don't want to go there."
"What do you mean I wasn't here?"
"When Xander died. I mean, we all knew he was using, but heroin? That stuff is crazy dangerous, and he was like a god at school, before. Because of Ovil."
Theo cuts off a mom in a minivan, ignores her honks.
"They were going to start playing real gigs, like on Sunset. We were all shocked when he OD'd. But not really. You know what I mean?
What does that have to do with Ethan? I mean, yeah, so they were in a band together, but that doesn't mean Ethan's an addict, too.
I wonder what that must have been like for Ethan, watching one of his bandmates slowly kill himself. Whether he felt as helpless as I did when I watched my mom fight against an invisible army of spreading cancer cells.
Xander was Ethan's older brother.
What? I ask, even though, of course, I heard him the first time. It's just that I never put a name to what I recognized of myself in Ethan's eyes. That look on his face when he stares out the window. The shell shock. The insomnia. Grief. Ethan's brother died? From a heroin overdose? I say it out loud, just so it seeps in and starts to make sense. Because a thought is forming in my mind, and if I'm right, it will change everything. I am a ninja, and I'll be stealthy and slow and deliberate. Fight for what I want. But I am not a ninja, and I am confused and spinning. It's starting to come together too fast, and my heart is barely beating, too slow, and I whip out my phone because I want to ask SN outright, not wait until our big meeting. Three simple words. Are you Ethan?
Ethan. Ethan. Ethan.
The new mantra in my head, happily replacing, whore slut fat ugly bitch.
Was the lie that simple? A sister substituted for a brother? And how could I have not even considered it? How blind I have been to everyone and everything around me. Ethan, Ethan, Ethan. I didn't even dare to hope. I barely dare to hope now. I put my phone away, shake my head to redirect my thoughts. I've been wrong once. I shouldn't jump to conclusions. Wait. See. But... Ethan...
Are you okay?
Theo asks me.
You look a little green.
Yeah, I say. Fine. SN. Did you know that there isn't a Waffle House in the entire state of California? We have to go to Arizona. Me. Why do we have to do that? SN. Waffles. Your favorite word.
My favorite food?
Kismet. Thought it would have a certain amount of poetic charm for us to meet in one. Me. Yeah, appreciate the sentiment, but not going to Arizona with you.
SN. Fine. Then let's meet at IHOP. What are pancakes if not waffles in another form?
Me. Are you this weird in person?
SN. Just you wait.
Me. I've been waiting. I have my theories about you, by the way. New theories.
Are you Ethan? Please be Ethan.
But I don't say this. When I really think about it, we've grown so good at talking around things, never drilling straight to the point. I think about studying with Ethan, our chats at Starbucks, wondering if he's dropped a single clue. No, nothing that I can think of, even with 20/20 hindsight. I click back to some of Ethan's old messages. Crap. He uses proper punctuation. Capitalizes the beginning of each sentence. I lie on my bed, close my eyes, send out a wish to the universe, not to God, because if he exists, he's ignored me too many times before.
SN, you do? Hope I'm not a disappointment.
Me, ha, hope you're not too.
SN, you've always said this arrangement is unfair, me knowing who you are but not vice versa. But when we meet, I don't know. I think everything will suddenly flip.
Me. So when are we doing this flipping? And don't you dare waffle.
SN. Tomorrow after school?
My heart sinks. I already have plans with Ethan tomorrow after school to work on the wasteland. Is this some sort of trick? To see which version of him I'll pick? No. Maybe I have it all wrong. Maybe Ethan is not SN after all. the disappointment begins its slow bloom. Me. Can't. Have plans already for a school thing. Have to work Tuesday. Wednesday? SN. You are a busy woman, but I know you're worth the wait. Me. I am. Are you? Again, there it is. That weird flirty tone I used to use when we first started writing but have largely dropped since. The voice that isn't mine, that creeps in only when I'm trying too hard. Have we lost it already? Our comfortable rapport? Because I'm too nervous to be normal around a guy I could actually care about? No. I rub my finger along the ninja that is now stuck to the back of my laptop. I will not be afraid. This is SN. This, whatever this is. Whoever this is, Ethan or not, probably not, is worth fighting for. Chapter 32. What? Ethan asks after he hands me my latte and I haven't offered to pay, like I practiced in my head. We are sitting on the stuffed chairs at Starbucks, Ethan directly across from me. I'm having trouble forming words because I'm too busy trying to sort this all out. I feel stupid for assuming SN was Caleb. I don't want to make the same mistake twice. What? I didn't say anything.
You're looking at me funny. Do I have something on my face?
Ethan begins to swat at his lips, which do have a tiny crumb stuck to them from his blueberry muffin. But that's not why I'm staring. Sorry, just a little out of it today. I hold on tight to my cup, both hands cradling it like it's something fragile. An injured baby bird. I guess I'm tired from the weekend.
How was it?
Ethan asks and smiles, as if he really wants to know. Which makes me think he's SN, because SN always wants to know everything. And which, of course, also makes me think he's definitely not SN, because SN already knows how my weekend was. But most of all, I think he can't be SN, because I want him to be SN, and that's the quickest way for it to not happen. For me to want it badly. Great. I mean, a little rocky at first, long story, but then it was great. It was hard to leave, I say, which is true. And untrue. It was hard to leave, and it would have been hard to stay. Not feeling like I belong anywhere has made me crave constant motion. Standing still feels risky, like asking to be a target. Maybe that's why Ethan doesn't sleep, come to think of it. 8 hours in one place is dangerous.
Yeah, I bet. Is that sticker new?
Ethan points to my ninja, and I realize that though I've had it on my computer all day at school, he's the first to notice. Even Jem didn't see it, because her only jab today was to call me sweaty. Not that creative, considering it's 90 degrees in November. Yeah, my best friend from home, Scarlett, made it for me. They're supposed to be like tattoos. I'm kind of in love with them.
They're all really cool. She should sell them, like on Etsy or something.
That's what I said. I look up, and then, when I catch his eye, I look down again. This is all too much. I just need to fast forward to Wednesday, meet SN, move on. If he's not Ethan, I will let go of this silly crush. Theo is right and wrong. This is playing with fire. I like being around him too much. He too is cradling his coffee cup now. I've read somewhere that when someone mirrors your body language, it means they like you. Then again, if that were true, I'd be sitting cross-legged, and I'd have long ago caught Ethan's nervous habit of rubbing his hair. Instead of mirroring him, I want to crawl into his lap, rest my head on his chest.
Great minds, man.
Great minds. Are you SN? Why do you wear a Batman t-shirt every day? Why don't you sleep? Why don't you sleep? I ask, because it seems the easiest of my questions, the least invasive, although maybe we're past all that now. I wish conversations came with traffic lights, a clear signal whether you need to stop or go, or proceed with caution.
I don't know. I've never been particularly good at it, but this past year it's like sleep is this fast-moving train, and it only comes by like twice a night or something, and if I don't run really fast to catch it, I miss it altogether. I know, I'm a weirdo.
He looks out the window. That weirdo dropped so casually, it could be a reference to our messages, or it could just be that he uses the word weirdo too. It's a common noun. It means nothing.
That's very poetic, a train metaphor.
Maybe you should take something, I mean, to sleep. Ethan looks at me, a question in his eyes. Or an answer. Maybe both.
Nah, I don't like to take anything.
Did you really memorize the whole poem?
The first section, yeah. I like how it speaks in so many different voices. It's sort of loud, you know?
I picture Ethan practicing with Ovil, strumming his guitar and singing his heart out. Noise as balm. I listen to them on repeat on my headphones after school every day. Try to parse out Ethan's voice, like a middle schooler obsessed with a boy band. He sounds stronger, rougher than Liam, gravelly, equal parts angry and resigned. I'm sorry about your brother. I blurt it out, and he looks as surprised as I am that I have taken the leap and mentioned it. I mean, I know I'm sorry is pretty useless, but I just heard. I'm like a year and a half behind on all things Wood Valley, and like you said a few weeks ago, I didn't want to be one of those people who didn't say something just because it's uncomfortable. Anyhow, it sucks, and nothing I can say will make it better. But yeah, I'm so sorry. I stop talking, even though I have more to say. I want to tell him that he will sleep again, that it gets easier. Sort of. Despite the fact that it will never be okay. That those cards, time heals all wounds, start to feel a bit more true, and still not true at all. I want to tell him I understand, but I'm pretty sure he already knows.
Thanks,
he says, again drawn to the window. He's so far away now. I feel like even if I were to indulge my need to touch him, my hand on his arm, my fingers in his hair, my palm on his cheek, he wouldn't feel it.
You're the only person who didn't know me before. Everyone else assumes I'm just like him, or wonders why I can't just go back to being how I used to be. But I'm not him, and I'm not the same me either, you know?
Ethan is Ethan is Ethan, whoever that may be now, I say. Ethan's head snaps back, as if he has again come to, the window forgotten. He looks at me instead. His eyes bore into mine, almost pleading, though I don't know for what. God, I want to touch him, but I wouldn't even know where to begin. What if he doesn't want me to? What if he just needs to occasionally have coffee with a person who didn't know him before? Maybe that's all I am. I can understand that. The idea of leaving Chicago, of not being surrounded every day by the people who had always known me, who expected me to keep on being the same Jesse they had always known, once seemed like the answer. Until it turned out it wasn't.
Exactly. You get it. I am who I am, whoever that may be now.
I wish I could recite The Wasteland, because I feel like that would be so appropriate right now. I smile, which is almost the same as feeling his skin against mine, but no, not the same thing at all.
Liam's going to ask you out. I thought you should know that.
What? I heard him. Of course I heard him. But I don't know what to say. Liam has nothing to do with whatever is going on here. I'm still not sure whether Ethan is SN, but I'm also not sure how much that matters. Because Ethan is real. and right in front of me, not just carefully written words on a screen.
I was wrong. I will not just let go of this silly crush, because this is not silly, not even a little bit. Maybe it's my crush on SN that's ridiculous. He could be anyone. Typing is easy. But talking like this? This is hard. Ethan shrugs. He knows I heard him.
I don't want him to, I say. Now my eyes are pleading. Though again, I don't know for what. For him to touch me? Please touch me. Your hand is right there.
Ethan's coffee cup is interesting to him again. He stirs the black. He doesn't touch me.
Then I think you should say no.
Later, I lie on my bed and replay the conversation over and over again.
I think you should say no.
I measure the literal space that was between us, no more than a foot, probably less, and wonder how, if, we'll ever cross it.
SN, T-minus 48 hours. I'm nervous.
Me too. But I think if it's a disaster, we can just go back to this, being friends here.
SN, you think?
I don't know.
Scarlet, did you know you can order the pill online?
Me, do not order drugs online. If you want the pill, go to the gyno.
Scarlet,
yuck, I hate stirrups. The whole thing is so humiliating. So many personal questions.
Me, come on, put on your big girl panties. You can do this.
Maybe I need to start making you empowering computer tattoos, because I've suddenly become the you in this relationship.
Scarlet,
so I've been listening to Ovel.
Me,
and?
Scarlet,
yum.
Ethan,
I think we need to start writing our paper, not just discussing.
Me,
you do?
Ethan,
yep. I know it's not due until spring, but it's a long poem, and we need to get started. Maybe meet more than once a week.
Am I dancing around my room right now, rocking out my whole body, smiling?
Maybe.
Maybe I am.
Me.
Yeah, totally.
Ethan.
Cool.
Me.
Cool beans.
SN. Interesting fact of the day. In the days of the telegraph, people used to write in code, too. How we do now with abbreviations, like TTYL, that sort of thing.
Me.
I didn't know that.
SN.
I don't know why, but I thought you'd appreciate the randomness of that.
Me.
It's cool that there are so many different ways to talk.
SN.
Exactly.
Chapter 33.
So, you need to talk to your dad, Theo says as he throws me a green juice from the fridge before school. I have developed a taste for these potions, though not for juicing as a verb or, come to think of it, as a lifestyle. Unlike Theo, I still require food, which is why this is not my breakfast. This is my appetizer.
Why?
We are the only two in the vast kitchen, the only people home. Rachel and my dad both left hours ago. Rachel does pre-work Pilates. My dad has the early morning shift. Soon he'll take his exam, graduate to the position he had in Chicago.
Because he's your dad?
So?
How old are you?
Seriously, this coming from Mr. Temper Tantrum? Turns out Theo did leave a soy sauce stain on the dining chair when he threw his fork. No matter. It is currently being reupholstered.
One time, dude. I don't do well with change.
Why do you care about me and my dad? I sip my juice, imagine it cleaning up my insides, like a Clarisonic for my intestines. Yeah, drinking liquefied kale totally makes me smug.
You're bringing negative energy into this house. We have enough bad juju as it is. Come on. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. How long they'll last. You only get two parents, and we're each down to one.
Better to be good to them while you can.